So one, two, there we go. Ready to rock and roll already. Brilliant. Before I start this evening, I'm going to be what I've called a review, refreshing, revision, just sharing again with the church the vision of CORE. And for you who maybe haven't heard the vision of CORE, obviously we've just developed a website which has it very clearly on there. So if you want to find out a bit more about the vision, please spend some time looking at that. But before I start my talk, this morning I was up early, as I am now, with now a little baby boy called Zach. I'm sort of, my sleep on time is 7 o'clock in the morning now, which is absolutely ridiculous. So anyway, I was up at 7 o'clock this morning, and Catherine was preparing for a talk this morning. So it's my turn to look after Zach, and I was downstairs watching the best of the All Blacks, because my dad's a New Zealander, and the All Black thing is very strong, particularly my father's side. He goes on about it all the time. But as I was watching the program about the All Blacks are the New Zealand rugby team. And to play for the All Blacks is the ultimate for many young men in New Zealand. And as I was watching this program, it's going from the very beginning of when the All Blacks started and how they developed over the years and how they began to become the powerhouse they are. Bigger than South Africa, New Zealand, and all that sort of stuff, and Ireland. Anyway, as I was watching it, there was a guy who had been in the All Blacks many years ago, and he said that the greatest thing he had ever had before set before him was wearing the All Black top, to put that on him. And he said the day came when it was for him to play. And he was on the pitch, and he was lined up with his fellow men, and the game had started. And he got given the first ball, and it fell into his hand, and he ran straight through and scored a try. And as I was watching that, I suddenly, you get this funny sort of tingling feeling sometimes when very natural things suddenly stand out. And I kind of felt it's almost like with the Lord, with each one of us here, it doesn't have to be the All Blacks, but it's almost like the Lord has put on each one of us his special top. We put it on. And the moment we put it on, we're ready to receive the ball. And all he did was put the top on, stand the pitch, and the ball was thrown to him. And he ran and scored the try. And from that picture today, it just really spoke to me of that God has clothed each one of us with his colours, with his righteousness. And we're ready to do what he's called us to do. And it only takes us having the top put upon us that when the ball comes, we're ready to do what God has called us to do. And so that, in one sense, is going to be pretty much what my talk's going to be about. So let's just take a moment just to pray and pray for the Lord just to anoint this word now. So Lord Jesus, we ask you now just to come by your Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you order these thoughts, and may they be your thoughts. Lord, may this be your word for us, a word for this church, a word for this community, a word for this city, Lord, a word that brings life. And Lord, we just thank you for calling each one of us here this evening. We thank you, Lord, that when we say yes, we get given the top. We're clothed in righteousness. And when we've been clothed in righteousness, we're ready to go. And Lord, we pray this evening that we will be reminded of that truth, that when we're called, you give us everything we need to do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So the invitation this evening is this: to participate, to get involved with what God is doing upon the earth. So what has God called you to do? Where has God called you to do it? And how have you responded to the invitation? There's one thing for sure: God is moving upon this earth. There's one thing for sure: that God is moving in this church. There's one thing for sure: that God has called people to participate with what he's doing in this space and in this time. How will you respond to his invitation? At CORE, the invitation is this: is from Jesus to be part of what he is doing on the earth and this situation in Dublin. He wants to activate our gifts, our time, our money for the service of his kingdom. Jesus understood his ministry in the light of the words of Isaiah 61. It says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And see, when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, he came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord fell upon him and he began to start his ministry. His ministry was this: it was preaching good news to the poor, it's proclaiming freedom for the prisoners, it's recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. God's ministry was the good news. The ministry of Jesus is the key to the growth and the health of the church. The ministry of Jesus is key to the health of our community, our city, our nation, and beyond. So Jesus was anointed, Jesus was commissioned, Jesus was led out to the desert, he was led out of the desert back into, out of the desert into the, as he came towards Jerusalem. And it says this: Jesus began to preach. He moved out of the desert, and as he began to preach, he said this: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come." Before that, it says, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." When Jesus came preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, he came to bring light into darkness. When he spoke those words, "The kingdom of God has come," he unleashed the power of heaven upon the earth. Darkness has to flee when the kingdom of God comes. When the kingdom of God comes, light pushes darkness out the way. So Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when Jesus preached that the kingdom of God is near, or the kingdom of God has come, he was bringing the authority of a king. Who is this king? This king is Jesus. Who is Jesus? He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. When he spoke those words, he brought his authority and his power to bring the kingdom of light against the kingdom of darkness. When he spoke those words, he began to undo the work of the devil. When his kingdom comes, it's not fully realized now, but we see signs and symbols of it as we begin to minister God's healing power. So what I mean by that is, sometimes we pray for someone and they get healed. Sometimes we pray for someone and they do not get healed. I don't understand why sometimes, do you? I don't know. But I know sometimes God heals. But one day, we'll be fully as God intended us to be. We'll be completely healed. There'll be no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. One day there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. That is what we're aiming towards. But on the way there, we're living in the now and the not yet, the kind of the beginning of the end, but also the beginning of the beginning, if you understand what I'm saying. So Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God. "Repent, for the kingdom of God is here." Then what did he do? He called people to be part of the kingdom. He says this: "As Jesus walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, and his brother Andrew. They're casting nets into the lake, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, 'Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" And then what did Jesus do? They came and followed Jesus. And then what did he do? He called them. He proclaimed the kingdom. He called them to be part of the kingdom. Then he did this. As Jesus then went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases: those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the regions across the Jordan followed him. See, Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God, he called people to be part of the kingdom of God, then he modeled the kingdom of God. You see, when people know that Jesus heals, doesn't that suddenly get the attention of people who do not believe in God? If I've got a really bad back and I've been to an osteopath, if I've got a really such and such, when you hear that Jesus heals, doesn't that resonate within the community of the power of God? When we see people delivered from the powers of darkness, suddenly they've been in depression, in darkness, going through difficult times, bang, the Lord breaks in. It says this, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. When the kingdom of God, the light comes on and the lives are turned around. Doesn't that news suddenly echo in your community? Aren't there people you know who need to hear some good news? Aren't there people you know who would long to hear that Jesus loves them? Aren't there people out there who would long to know that God has a plan for their family? That God can turn around brokenness and make it into wholeness? He can turn around those things that have fallen apart and make them happen again. That is the good news of the kingdom of God. So Jesus proclaimed the kingdom. He called people to be part of the kingdom. He modeled the kingdom. Then guess what? He invited us to participate with him in the kingdom. He says this. Then Jesus sent out with these 12, Jesus sent out with the following instructions. He goes, as you go, preach the message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received and freely you give. And so the ministry of Jesus is our ministry. He's the one we look to, but he's called us to be his ministers. See, the outwork of Jesus' ministry is through the church. Who's the church? You, me, we are the church. So Jesus called us to carry out his ministry until he returns. It is through the church, through God's people, that the kingdom of God is manifest. And the word manifest means the kingdom is displayed, it is demonstrated, and it is made known. So what does Jesus want to do? He says this. Those who are ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon possessed, those having seizures, the paralyzed. And what did he do? He healed them. So we want to be a church that people who are suffering from any of those can come along here and we want to pray God's healing upon them, because I know that's what Jesus does. Why? Because we see it in the book. And it's through his church that God wants to minister the kingdom of God. It says this in Ephesians. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purposes, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's through the church that God wants to reveal his wisdom, to display his wisdom. It's through his church that he wants to make known to the rulers and authorities in the heavens his eternal purposes. What are his eternal purposes? God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's his eternal purposes. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we want to see here at Core, at this church. And many of you will know now that the vision of Core is this. Those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside reaching out. And what this means is those who feel on the outside, those who are looking into what God is doing here, we believe God wants you to become with us those who reach out to those who do not know Jesus. It says this in the message. The mystery is that people who have never heard of God and those who have heard of him all their lives, what I've been calling outsiders and insiders, stand on the same ground before God. They get the same offer, same help, same promises in Christ Jesus. The message is accessible and welcoming to everyone across the board. You see, Jesus does not want anybody to be an outsider. But of course, if we don't know Jesus, we can be an outsider or we can feel an outsider. But Jesus' invitation is for us to come inside into relationship with him. That we can be with him and as a community together, becoming those on the inside who know Jesus, reaching out to those who do not know him. And the invitation is this, to move from observer to participator. So those on the outside looking in, if you're looking in, you're observing, you're not necessarily participating. You can watch people swim all you like, but it's not until you jump into the water, probably be taught to swim at the same time, you might not necessarily know that. But it's not until you jump into the water that you actually learn how to swim. I can watch many things and think I can do it, but it's not until I step into it that I actually learn how to do it. And so the challenge is this, that those on the outside looking in, is that I want you to move from observing to participating with what God is doing in this place. And to join with us in the vision, of course, to be part of what God is doing. So it's those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside, reaching out. Paul's prayer is this: I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of everything we have in Christ. You see, the Lord wants to activate our gifts, whatever your gifts are. Every person here has amazing gifts. There's not one person here who has not got gifts that God can use. And it's not always the obvious ones. Sometimes it's someone who can listen. Sometimes it's someone who's really good at painting fences. Sometimes it's a person, it doesn't matter what your gift is. It's all important in the kingdom of God. Because as you activate your gifts, you get a greater understanding of who and what you have in Christ. And we know practically in the church, people who've, we have a group called Impact, which have been going into different places in the community, painting rooms, clearing away gardens. And that simple act of people doing that for nothing and actually and ministering through that, has people ask the question, why on earth are you doing that? And it opens up opportunities to share about the good news of Jesus. Or sometimes just keep your mouth shut and just show the good news of Jesus. So how can you activate your gifts and be part of the vision of CORE? Well, the vision of CORE is broken down into four areas. And again, I just want to encourage you just to look at the website, CORE, C-O-R-E, church.ie. And that's got the vision, who we are, what we're about, and how to get involved. And it gives you hopefully it's laid out in a way that makes it easy to understand. If it's not, keep working at it. And if you don't understand it, listen to the talks which explain what happens in the vision. And if you don't understand it, keep coming along until you get it. Because remember Jesus says, he goes to his disciples, you get it at last. At last you get it. It's like one of those magic eye things. You look at it, someone goes a floppy bunny in there, you go, oh yeah, right, I can't see anything. You stare at it, you look at this way and that way and this way and that way, and suddenly what happens? You see the floppy bunny. And it's like that with the kingdom of God. Suddenly you get it. Suddenly you see it. Beforehand you never saw it. Doesn't matter how many times people tell you about it, but suddenly you get it. It's like a joke. Suddenly someone tells you a joke. I was out in Russia with my dad once, and my dad was speaking in a service, and he cracked this joke and nobody laughed, which is not unusual in our family. So anyway, the next day we were invited round for dinner around this person's house in Russia. We're sitting around the table and we're having food with them, and suddenly this person burst out laughing. And we're wondering, what on earth are you laughing for? He goes, I've just got your joke. It's like that with the kingdom of God. You get it. You suddenly get the joke. It's not a joke, but you know what I'm saying? You suddenly see the floppy bunny. You suddenly see the joke. What more do you want? That's the kingdom of God for you. Try and use that in theology. The floppy bunny theology. Anyway, God's invitation is to participate with what he is doing. His invitation is those on the outside looking in, becoming those on the inside reaching out. And the vision is divided into four parts. Firstly, we want to be a church that welcomes the outsider in. In other words, we don't want anybody to feel outside. We want to be a church that welcomes all who come through our door, learning to show the love, hospitality, and acceptance that characterize Jesus' ministry, so that those on the outside are welcomed in. And of course, we're learning how to do that. Some weeks we get it wrong. Some weeks we say things I don't mean to say. Some weeks we get it right. You know, whatever it is, we want to learn as a community to be a welcoming church. And we don't care where you come from, what you do, we want to welcome you into this place, because we believe the invitation of Jesus is open to anybody. Examples of part of our welcome in the church is this. We want to, the welcome in the church, obviously we want to welcome the outsider in. So where does the welcome start? Well, firstly, welcome starts with the church community, doesn't it? We are the welcome. Sounds like we are the world. You know, we are the welcome. So we are the welcome. So when people come into the church, we are what the church is. That's scary, isn't it? And so we have a challenge, each one of us, to be part of the good news. We have at the back a welcome desk, which we're beginning to develop to connect people with the community of Core. We have a website, as I mentioned, to help people understand a little bit about who we are, what we're about, and how to get involved. We're going to be, over the next terms, we're going to be having welcome lunches, which enable people who are new to the city, new to the church, to come and meet with some of the staff, meet some of the people in the church, to have some point of contact and have something to eat. We have Step Up, which is a fantastic ministry on a Monday night, which provides a connection to Core with those who are newly arrived in the city. And it's on a Monday night, and it's just an opportunity to get to know people who have freshly arrived in the city or people who are new in the city, to get knitted within the community. Because I know what it's like when you first arrive in Dublin or any city. It's a very lonely place, isn't it? What do I do? Where do I go? How do I get my car's broken down. How do I go and find a mechanic who's not going to rip me off? How do I... All these kind of things we don't know. But when we begin to get knitted within the community, people can begin to help us find the contacts that make us feel at home and feel welcome in the city. We want to have socials, which are opportunities to get to know each other, to build friendships, etc. And in the future, we want to really open this church up as a resource, not only as a worshipping space, but also as a resource to the community. And we're undergoing buying the building next door, which we want to do things like having childcare, coffee mornings, mums and tots, parenting courses, discipleship courses, you know, whatever God wants us to do, that's what we want to do, so that we become a community in this area that not only welcomes people in, but also as a resource to the church, to the community around us, so that we're so blessed that we want to be a blessing. So we want to be a church that firstly welcomes the outsider in. Second value is worship will be the sign. The biggest value of this church is that we are a worshipping community. That's who we are. That's why we exist. It says this, we want to be a church that worships Jesus in both spirit and truth, because that is the kind of worshipper the Father seeks. We believe that the worship of Jesus is key to the life and mission of the church. The prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 47 sees a vision of a restored sanctuary. In other words, a restored worship space. And out of the restored sanctuary, water begins to flow. It starts off with a drop of water, then it goes ankle high, knee high, waist high, then suddenly there's incredible power as the water is unleashed upon the earth. And the great thing about the water in Ezekiel 47, the water transforms salt water into fresh water. And the salt water happens to be the Dead Sea. Can you imagine anything transforming salt water into fresh water? That's what happens with the power of God. He changes the unchangeable. That's why we get up in the morning. Because we know that. It's true. He changes the unchangeable. So wherever the water flows, there is life. Out of the worship of Jesus, God releases the Holy Spirit like a river. And as the river flows out of the church, it rebuilds, restores, revives the lives of people here, the community, beyond. It just goes on as the water flows out of here. So worship is absolutely key to all we do in this church. And so I'll just fly through these because we've got, I don't want to speak too long, we have time in ministry, but part of that is that we have, it's great having Rob Jones on board as a curate. We have Jack Heaslip, myself just here for leading, teaching, preaching, obviously bring different people in at different times to really develop the input into people's lives. We've got small groups as well. We want to also develop the worship in the arts, and we're looking at the moment to see how we're going to develop that in the future. The whole prayer is so important to everything that God does. There's no point doing anything unless God wants us to do it. And so prayer, we're building in more and more. So Monday night we have the Hot House, we've got the Lydia prayer group, we've got student prayer groups, and we're looking at the 24/7 prayer initiative with someone in the church who's interested in beginning to set something up like that. So prayer is key. And so out of our worship of Jesus, he releases his restoring power. So we're a church that welcomes the outsider in. We're a church where worship is a sign, where we worship Jesus in the spirit of truth. Out of our worship of Jesus, God releases the water and it flows out of the church into the community and transforms everything that it comes into contact with. And that makes point three, that we're a community of transformation. We're not here to stay the same. You can't stay the same if you follow Jesus. It's impossible. Because the byproduct of the relationship with Jesus is you always change. And so we want to be a church committed to welcoming in the transforming power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, so that by God's grace we grow in Jesus' likeness and character, because transformed people transform community. So when the Spirit of God comes upon each one of us, and as we begin to read God's word, and as we begin to worship Him, as we begin to meet up together, all these kind of things, God begins to transform us. Because, as I said before, transformed people are what the world is looking for. Because otherwise we're no different, are we? We're not good news if we're not transformed. And I'm not saying God uses us as we are, but He loves us too much to leave us that way. We also understand as the church gets bigger, it also needs to get smaller. We value small groups as places of personal growth and transformation, empowering and activating God's people for the service of the kingdom. And so part of our vision is that we want to really value the whole area of small groups as places of doing, of getting to know each other in a much smaller context, of being able to pray for each other, be able to worship together, be able to serve together, all those kind of things you can't do in a big context. And so we've been developing the ministry of small groups, so keep an eye on those. Other small groups include children's ministry, we've got youth ministry, student ministry, men's ministry, Esther, Mums and Tots. In February, January, we're going to have a new discipleship course for those who are interested in Christianity but don't know much about it. We're launching one of those in February, January time. We've got a pastoral team which is going to be rolled out in the next few weeks. It's almost finished now, our thinking and our working over the last year and a half, and I'll be able to let you know more about that. We're also looking to develop pastoral resources in the church so that we can bless those in the church and those outside the church. And one of the ideas we've had from that is the whole idea of what's called innkeepers. You know the story of the Good Samaritan? And as a good Samaritan, if you hear on that story, what happens is that a man is walking along the road, he gets beaten up by a den of robbers, and we get a couple of religious leaders walk past and ignore him. But then the Good Samaritan comes along, and what does he do? He binds up the wounds, he pours wine and oil on him, but that's all he could do. But he knew of the innkeeper who could bring him to wholeness. And so in the church, so often, all we can do is bind up the broken knee or the bleeding knee or whatever. But we need innkeepers where we can take that person to who can be restored because they know what they're doing. And so what we want to do is develop within the church things like parenting courses, marriage courses, baptism preparation, etc. But outside the church, those who are experts in things like marriage guidance, counselling, bereavement, debt advice, whatever it is, whatever the thing that we can't do in the church, but we want to find out who they are and how we can point people to them so they can be helped. And then finally, the last part of our vision is this, is that we're turned inside out. So we want to be a church that we're a welcoming church. We want to be a church that worship is a sign. We want to be a church where, a community transform community, and then transform people, transform community, and we're sent out in order to share that with other people. And as I just quickly conclude with this, we are commissioned, anointed by Jesus to be His witnesses. And as a church, we want to learn how to take the Father's love out into the community, the city, the nation, the beyond. And that is the outworking of the ministry in the church. We have all sorts of ministries that do that. We have Kids Club, which is, as many of you will know in the church, which is reaching inner city kids on a Saturday. We have an after school project, which is helping people who are struggling with homework. And there's a number of kids who they're given a lunch, and then they're helped out with the homework. It's also a fun environment, etc. And it's just to help them, you know, fulfill their potential. We have prison ministry, which goes in every Sunday and every it goes every Sunday, even Christmas Day and Easter. That's a fantastic ministry where we're just ministering to prisoners and have a fantastic. We have the Liberty Stage rugby team. We have bingo nights. We have Grandma's Island. We have ministry to Nepal. All I'm saying is lots and lots of things going on in the church that we'll tell you more about as we as this sort of term unfolds. But and that's what God does, is the outworking of the ministry is that it reaches out into the community. So what I want to do is just really sum this up so that just so that we're reminded of what we've been talking about. So firstly, Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God. He modeled the kingdom of God. He called people to be part of the kingdom of God. He proclaimed the kingdom. He called people to be part of the kingdom. He modeled the kingdom. And he sent those who the kingdom had modeled out into the community to transform. We are the church. We are what God has chosen in order to bring his kingdom. At core, our vision is this, that those on the outside looking in become those on the inside reaching out. The invitation here is to move from an observer, seeing what's going on, to participate with what's going on. From seeing what God is doing, to be part of what God is doing. To join with us in the vision of core, to be part of what God is doing in Dublin. Jesus wants to activate your gifts, my gifts, our time, your time, our money, your money, for the service of his kingdom. And he's called you. And I'm going to finalize, it says this. So Jesus says to you and to me, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. So let's pray. So Lord, we just know there's a lot to be unpacked tonight, and it can be unpacked many, many times, Lord. And I just want to pray this evening that we'll be reminded of that picture at the beginning of the person putting on that top, the shirt. And they became an ordinary person. Suddenly, they put on the top and they suddenly became something extraordinary. And Lord, I thank you that the invitation to each one of us here is to participate with you in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And if you're called, if you respond to the call, you get the jersey. And if you get the jersey, you're given everything you need to do what you've been called to do. And Lord, I want to pray this evening that you would continue to stir us as a people. I pray, Lord, that you break fear off any of us who say, I can't do that. Or that was told me 5 years ago. That can't be true now. Or I just can't do that. Well, that's not true. When you're called, God gives you everything that you need to do what he's called you to do. So let's just take a moment just to reflect on that truth. The invitation is to participate with Jesus and what he's called us to do in this space, in this time. And each person has a place in this space. And every gift, whatever it is important in God's eyes. The body of Christ is made up of many different parts. Each part is essential to the health of the whole. And Lord, I pray that you would speak in the night. I pray, Lord, that you'd stir us up not to be complacent with what you've given us, but to be willing to offer back to you that which you've given. And Lord, we just pray that this church will welcome people through its doors. We pray, Lord, that this will be a place known for its worship of Jesus Christ in spirit and truth. I pray that your name will echo over the city from this place. I pray, Lord, this will be a place of transformation, that you'll transform us into the image of your Son. And Lord, I pray that we won't hold on to that, but we will take it out wherever we go, because transform people. Transform community. And so, Lord, we just pray for that anointing afresh upon each one of us here. Wherever we go, wherever we worship, that they'll take that with them this evening. So, shall we just stand and just open our arms out, and let's just offer ourselves afresh to Jesus this term as we enter into a new term. after summer, and it's just to make ourselves available again to Jesus. He hasn't gone away. We might have, but he hasn't. And the great thing about Jesus is not to walk away from him, but to walk towards him. Because he never moves out of the way. He's always there for us. But sometimes we walk away from him rather than walk towards him. And his invitation this evening is into that relationship with him. And just invite Jesus afresh into your heart this evening. And if it's, Lord, I want to serve you, but I don't know how to. I want to follow you, but I don't know how to. I want to be part of what you're doing, Lord, but I don't know how to. Those are great prayers because God does know how to. And it's like in that picture, it's like the Lord is now passing the ball to you. So catch it. And run for that line. Because you're going to score. Because God knows what he's doing. He knows why he called you. And this morning we had this theme of the service about encouragement. I just feel this evening is about encouragement. And I just want to invite you, those four this evening who just want to be encouraged, who want to know the encouragement of God, that it's going to be alright because he's in charge. So even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are there with me. And that song will never let go. And I think there's people here who will need to be reminded of that as they, whatever they have to face over this next few weeks and months. So I just want to encourage you to come forward now, and we're going to pray for you because we want you to be encouraged and built up. So let's.